Going to is going to be the Psalms, so go ahead and turn to Psalm number 1. And also, I have a note here, Michelle lost her journal, and it may be in the church somewhere. It's tan and cranberry. So if you find that, get that back to Mark or Michelle. Raise your hand, Mark. They'll know who you and Michelle are. Amen. So if you find a tan and cranberry journal, please get that back to Michelle. Amen. She would love to have that back. And as we're standing, turn over to Psalm 1. If you don't have a Bible, there should be Bibles in front of you. You can grab one, and it should fall right open to Psalm number 1. That's where we've been over this past several weeks, and that's probably will be for another several weeks until we finish the Blessed Man. The theme of this year is Psalms for the Soul, and more in particular, we're talking about the Blessed Man, amen? And so that is really, really an encouragement to my heart. It's been a big, big encouragement in terms of what God has done in my life, and so I appreciate that. Psalm number 1, everybody there say amen?
Amen.
Anyone need just a few more moments? Say, oh me, oh my. Amen. None of that. Amen. All right. We're going to read the entire Psalm verses 1 through 6 together out loud. So here we go. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. We have looked at, in the weeks gone by, the negative choices of the blessed man there in verse number 1. In other words, what he avoids, what he stays away from, what he does not do. Then we looked at the positive choices of the blessed man here in verse number 2. And in particular, we looked at the law of the Lord is his delight in the beginning of that verse. And then the law of the Lord is his diet. Now we're moving down to verse number 3. And today we're going to consider the subject, the law of the Lord is his display. Because of his diet and because of his delight in verse number 2, he's going to display something totally different from the ungodly man. Amen. Something totally different that he has refrained from in verse number 1. And so we'll look at that this morning. I pray God will speak to your heart and look at the area of his display. What is he showing? And ask yourself this question as well. If you're a child of God today, what are you displaying to people? What neon light are you projecting out to folks? What type of a light do they see from you? Is it a flicker? Is it dim? Is it bright? Is it flashing? Is it drawing attention to people, to the Savior, that they can be saved? What display do people see when they see you? Because that's what a display is for. It's to be seen. And so we're going to look at that today because verse number 3 says what the blessed man is going to be like as a result of his choices in verses 1 and 2. So you have to ask, what do people see when they see me? The Father, work in our midst today. God, help us today to see and discern what type of a man we are. Are we like the blessed man, or Lord, are we like the ungodly man? Lord, none of us in here want to be equated with the ungodly man. Lord, by our choices, it will display what kind of choices we have made. It will play out in our lives as to what we are, what we do, and what we will be based upon verses 1 and 2 in our lives. Verse number 3, Lord, today will show us what the wise choices or the positive choices of the blessed man will yield, and help us to look at those passages and see exactly what it is that you would have in our lives and what we're displaying to other people, because we want them to see Jesus Christ through us, that men might be saved, that they might be born again. They might recognize there is a God in heaven who will judge sin, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, help us to show that today. If there's one today without Jesus Christ, if they are not sure that heaven is their home, help them to make a conscious choice to choose Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins before it's everlasting too late. And for Christians, help us to consider what we display. And Lord, be like the blessed man and display the things of God in our lives. Minister now through song to our hearts and then bless in the sermon in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We've got Mr. and Mrs. Farnham going to come up and sing for us this morning.
To tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Like Jesus, amen. I hope you know that this morning, that if you're here, God loves you, cares about you, amen. And there will be no one that cares for you quite like Jesus, amen. Many folks may love you in a whole lot of different ways, amen, but it won't be anything like the love that Jesus Christ has for you and how he died on the cross for you in the love of the Father in heaven, amen. Well, I am going to let you know off the top of the start of this that we probably won't look at all of this morning. You say, well, preacher, it's only one little verse there, verse number 3, amen, but there's a whole lot that I want to bring into that one little verse. So there's basically 7 characteristics here in verse number 3 that I want to look at when it comes to the blessed man being like a tree, and we're going to take it kind of in bits and pieces. And so I pray that as you look at this, and we're going to turn to some other scriptures to bring them in, one being Psalm 92, 12 through 15. That's why I had you meditating on that one throughout the month. And I trust that God's going to bless in a marvelous way. The thought is, the law of the Lord is his delight. The negative choices have been taken care of in verse number 1. The positive choices in verse number 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His diet is in the law of the Lord. Now in verse 3, the law of the Lord is going to be his display. He's going to display that which he has taken in. You have already heard the term, you are what you eat. Amen. And so if you eat a lot of chocolate and fatty foods and bonbons, amen, it's going to display in your life if you don't have a medical problem. Amen. It's going to show. On the other hand, if you eat healthy and eat lean foods and things like that and exercise, that's going to display itself as well unless you have a medical condition. Amen. And so it's going to display. By the way, not everything that's wrong on the inside of your body shows on the outside. Amen. People can have high blood pressure and it won't show on the outside of your body. People can have cancer and it won't show on the outside of your body oftentimes. You can have all sorts of problems internally and it doesn't show out. But certain things that you have internally show externally. Y'all with me? Certain things that you have physically that are internally show externally. By the way, many of you are bald. Amen. That's an internal condition that's shown outside, or men, I should say. Amen. Now, some of you have a deeper problem like me. I have an immune deficiency in my body, so I'm slicker than most of y'all. Amen. Some of y'all got a shadow. My shadow left when I was about 18 years old. Amen. I noticed that Adam had a little haircut, and I said, that's a sharp cut, but he still got a shadow. Amen. Brother Sabalo's got a cut, but he's got a shadow. Amen. I don't have a cut. I ain't got no shadow. Amen. What's going on? It's showing that there is a problem internally and it's showing externally. And so you can see that there is an internal problem with me. Amen. Hey, let's flip it on the spiritual. It is the same spiritually. When spiritually you are healthy and wealthy, it's going to show on the outside. It's going to display. When you are poor on the inside spiritually and bankrupt on the inside, it's going to show on the outside. That's just a fact of the matter. You don't have to amen. It's true just the same. Amen. It is a fact of the matter. And so that's what we're considering today. The law of the Lord is his display. Notice what it says down in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, now that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What is a display? A display is something evident as a result of being set up. Amen. Many of you have put up Christmas trees at Christmas time. And what do? You normally get the tree out of the box and you assemble it. Amen. Or if it's a brand new tree, you got it cut down from the forest. Amen. You bring it into the house. You decorate it and things like that. And what is one of the first things you do? You open up the window. Amen. Why didn't you open up the window when you were putting it together? Amen. It wasn't finished yet. Amen. And you open up that window and you light it up. Amen. And it's a display for all to see. Amen. I've got a nativity scene as well. I do that at Christmas time and I'll get the nativity scene out there. And then as soon as I get it all set up, it's a display for all to see. Amen. If you ever worked at a department store, at a clothing store, you have the mannequins there. And the mannequins are for a display, and it's for people to see. You dress the mannequins up in the style that you want them to have, and you open up the curtain of the window, and people see that display. Spiritually speaking, what the Bible is saying here now is that because of the blessed man's delight in verse number 2, and because of the blessed man's diet in verse number 2, he has been set up. And the result is going to be displayed for all to see. He's been totally set up by the word of God and the will of God and the work of God. And now he's unveiled for everybody to see. By the way, people see your Christianity. Did you know that? People saw Jesus' Christianity. They saw his disciples' Christianity. They saw Paul's Christianity. Do people see your Christianity? Say, preacher, that's a loaded question. They're either going to see it or they're not going to see it. And if they don't see it, guess what? You're no different from anybody else. And people need to see Jesus. The Greeks came to the disciples. They said, sirs, we would see Jesus. Jesus needs to be seen in our lives. Amen. And so the display is what we're considering today. What is going to be the result of my delight and my desire in verse number 2? Well, notice here, first of all, it says, and he shall be like a tree. Now, first thing we have to understand that people aren't trees. Y'all with me? Amen. The word there, he's using a simile. And it starts off with a simile. And the simile is using the words like or as. And it's a comparison of something. Like I would say, I'm hungry as a lion. I'm strong as an ox. I'm fast as lightning. Ha ha. See, no, you're slow as a turtle. Amen. Either way it goes, amen. It's a comparison when you use the words like or as. Amen. It's hot like fire. They act like heathens. My wife said when she was growing up, they used to call them heathens next door because the family next door was saved people, or so they said they were, and they would call them heathens. They said, y'all act like heathens. In other words, saying you act like unsaved people that don't know anything about God. Amen. And so when he uses this, he says he's going to be like a tree. It's a simile. He's using a comparison here. In other words, the psalmist is making a comparison of the blessed man, a result of his delight and his desire. And he says, you know what? Because of your delight and your desire and your diet, you're like a tree. And we're going to be considering what this is all about here over the next several moments, amen, as we consider this subject matter. Amen. By the way, he would be like a tree or compared to a tree by the waters. One thing you know about waters, amen, that these are fake plants up here. But if these plants were real plants, they're going to grow their best by water. You give a plant no water, it's going to die. You got Rayford in the back. Rayford knows all about that. Amen. You give it too much water, it's going to drown. Amen. It's just a fact of the matter. And so he says he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And so the psalmist identifies seven characteristics that are displayed in the blessed man's life. We're going to look at every one of these seven characteristics. We're not going to get all through them today. Amen. But we're going to start that as well. So you can do a comparison in your own life and say, what am I displaying? What am I like? Amen. Am I like a tree? Am I like a bush? Am I like a shrub? Am I like a rose? Am I like a flower? Am I like, what am I like? And notice, first of all, number one, let's see what the blessed man is like in his prominence. It says down there in verse number three, and he shall be like, or he's compared to, a tree. One of the characteristics of the blessed man, because of his delight in his diet, he displays the characteristics of a tree. The blessed man is going to be strong. He's going to be stable. He's going to be standing upright for all to see. Brother Matt Cayley, when he went down to California, he went to the forest where they had the great redwood trees. Now, I've never seen them, but they said those trees can get up to 360 feet tall. That's a tall tree. You know, in Arizona, we ain't going to see nothing like that, not down here. Why? You got to have some water. You got to have some good soil to grow something like that. They say you can drive a car through them. You can tunnel those things out and drive a car through them. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You been there, sister? Amen. Now, can you imagine being that type of a Christian? I mean, that prominent, that tall, that much stature, that much where people can visually see you 360 feet tall from a distance. You're just a pillar of the family. You're a pillar at the job. You're a pillar at school. You're a pillar wherever you go. And people say, wow, that's the Christian right there. He should be like a tree. He's going to be prominent. They're going to know that you're a Christian if you live the life of the blessed man. There's going to be no bones about it. They're going to know that you're saved. They're going to know you're Christian. They're going to know you're different. Do people know you're different? If they don't know you're different, there's something wrong with your Christianity. Ooh, preacher. Now, if I knew it was going to be one of those sermons, I would have stayed at home. Now, folks, I don't care what sermon it is. If people don't know that you're different, what good does it do them? They need to know there's something that you have that they don't have. Now, if you hit the lottery, you'd be going around town, buying up this and buying up that. And people say, man, you got something I don't have. You got money. Hey, when we get saved, we should be going around town. Hey, I got Jesus. I got Jesus. He's shown in my life. And by the way, you don't always have to say it. What you need to do is show it. Amen. It's more shown than it is on the inside. But what's on the inside normally is shown on the outside. Hey, what am I saying? He should be like a tree. The great redwoods, they can be over 360 feet tall. The blessed man will be able to withstand the storms of life. He's going to be strong. He's going to be stable. He's going to be standing upright. He may bend, but he won't break. Amen. He is not going to let anything damage him. Why? He's a tree. He's a tree. Trees normally are the tallest things around when it comes to that. And so in his prominence, the blessed man is like a tree. Let me ask you, are you like the blessed man? Are you prominent like a tree? Do you stand head and shoulders above everybody else in your Christianity and your spirituality? Can people look to you for guidance? Can they look to you for counsel? Or are you like the ungodly? Or are you like the sinner? Or are you like the scornful? Amen. People should be able to look to you and say, hey, there's a tree. I can go under for protection. I can go to it for counsel. I can go to it for safety. I can go to it for some shade. I can go to it for some sanity. Hey, they'll protect me. What do you have? Second of all, not only is he prominent like a tree, but he's permanent. He's permanent. What is he like in his permanence? The Bible says, and he should be like a tree planted. He's planted. A good strong tree sends its roots down deep into the soil for nutrients and stability. That's one of the reasons why I had you to memorize Psalm 92. Let's go back over there, Psalm 92. Good tree, you had Psalm 1, now go to Psalm 92. A good tree going to send down the roots into the soil for some nutrients and stability and moisture. By the way, if you have it up on top, amen, you get a drought, it's not going to be good. Notice it says in Psalm 92, notice verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Hey, we know all about palm trees. You go all around Tucson, and guess what? You're going to find palm trees. We first moved into this property. There's a palm tree right out front at the gate right there. And we discovered something astonishing. It did not have an irrigation system, Rayford. No irrigation system at all. But yet it still had a fat, round trunk, and the leaves were green. We thought, how in the world can this tree, as a palm tree, still be green without irrigation? We had some sewer problems, and we had to get the Roto-Rooter guy to come through and do a scope down there. And we found something, that the tree had found its way all the way down to the sewer system and had broken through the clay pipes and got its water from our sewer coming from the church. And then it bypassed that and went all the way down deeper and got something else. Wow. We're wondering, how is this thing growing? It's getting no water. And we know it can't live without water, but it found the source of water and went to the source of water and went beyond the source of water to make sure that it always had water. Hey, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He said over here in Psalm 92, he's going to be like the palm tree. That palm tree out there is smarter than some Christians, amen. If I can't find the water, amen, I need to go where it's at. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now, I like the way he just did that. He said, you know what? Look at the cedar in Lebanon. And notice the way it's planted like the palm tree. Notice how it's growing. And he gives the correlation or the comparison. He said, if you plant it in the house of God, amen, it's going to be good for you, amen. If you plant it in the house of God and your roots are going down to the water, it's going to be good for you, amen. And not just in the house of God, not just passing by, but planted in there, being firm down there, being fixed in it, getting your roots down, getting established in it. Not a fly by night, not someone just here in body, not someone that's just here in spirit, not just someone that's just here because I'm osmosis, I'll get it, amen. But he said you're actively involved in it. You're down deep, amen. I wonder sometimes. The storms of life come to people and they get blown all over the creation, but not the palm tree, not the redwood. Christians get blown this way, they get blown that way because they're not planted. You got to have some roots deep down. You got to have some roots way down. Hey, you got to get some water to withstand the droughts when they come. He said, those that be planted. Let me ask you a question. Are you planted? Are you uprooted? Are you planted? Are you firm? Are you stable? Are you strong? Are you standing? Are you upright? Can people see it? Can they count on you? Brother Roger Reed comes here once a year. And I'm sure you come by looking to see certain folk. I wonder if so-and-so is here. Wonder if so-and-so was here. Wonder if so-and-so was here. And he says they're planted. When I go to other churches, I look for certain folks. And I look to see if they're planted. And I go back, where's so-and-so at? Where's so-and-so at? Where's so-and-so at?
You look for folks that are planted. Hey, every day when I wake up, Pastor White, I look in my backyard. I look for my plum tree. I look for my grape tree, grapefruit tree. Why? It's planted in my backyard. I want to make sure it's still there. I'm going to get some grapefruits off of that. Rafer said, if I don't get the plums, he'll get the plums off the plum tree. You can't have them, brother. Amen. You have some of them. Hey, he said, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. He said, if you're planted in the house of God, you're going to flourish in the courts of God. Amen. It just works that way. God allows those that are planted to get the nourishment, the strength that they need to flourish. What does flourish mean? To blossom, to bloom, to prosper. You say, well, preacher, I'm not prospering too much in my Christian life. Ask yourself, are you planted in the house of the Lord? Can you be found during Sunday school time? Can you be found during Sunday morning time? Can you be found during Sunday night time? Can you be found on Wednesday time? Can you be found on soul winning time? Can you be found during men's meeting times? Can you be found during ladies' meetings times? Hey, those are people that are planted. Those are people doing something for God. Those are people that's going to be flourishing. Say, preacher, I don't do that. But you're not going to flourish like they would then. Hey, there's something about the palm tree growing in Lebanon. There's something about those planted in the house of the Lord. There's something about them. Say, preacher, what is it? Notice verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. I don't care how old the tree gets. If the tree is healthy, the tree is going to bring forth fruit. I don't care how old it gets. Hey, I don't care how old the Christian gets. The Christian can still bring forth fruit. Hey, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, you can get in their lives, amen, and see yourself reproduced in them, spiritually speaking. Hey, you can go soul winning on the phone and call people up and make visits and give people the gospel, and you can still, in old age, bring forth fruit. Doesn't matter how old you are. Some of the spryest folk I've seen are mature folk. Dr. Nelson, a great soul winner, as senior as he was still planning a church, knocking on doors at 86 years old. 86 years old. Put Bible college students to shame. Put preachers to shame. 86 years old, knocking on doors, going out on visits, planning a church. Didn't matter how old he was. Say, preacher, why does it matter? Because it's just right to do. Every Christian should do that. Well, preacher, I'm not led to do that. I'm not called to do that. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. You don't have to be called because you're commanded. Amen. I'm just saying. See, we don't like to hear that part. But it's true nonetheless. It's true nonetheless. And if I'm saved, and if I'm going to be planted in the house of God, if I'm going to be flourishing, I'm going to still bring forth fruit in old age. Amen. I'm going to still do that which I know is right to do. Because it's right to do, I'm commended by God Almighty, not man down here. Amen. Hey, nobody had to tell me to go soul winning. I went to go tell folks as soon as I got saved. There was no program. There was nothing. I wanted to share my Jesus with somebody that I knew. Come on now, help me. You won the lottery, you tell somebody. Well, preacher, this is different. This is private. Says who? This is personal. Yes, it is, but it should be shared outwardly. Hey, your bank account is personal too, but you spend that, don't you? You get that out. All right now. Your social security number is personal. You get that out, don't you? All right now. By the way, Jesus is not like one of those. What am I saying? Hey, what he's like in his permanence, he's planted. It says down there, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Not talking about fat, slobbery fat. He's talking about being prosperous. He's talking about having much. Flat and flourishing. He's going to have much. He's going to have plenty. And he's going to prosper. So when you look at Psalm 92, 12 through 15, he says, you know what? This is all to show, verse 15, that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. He says, you know, the righteous is going to flourish like the palm tree. He's going to be like the cedar in Lebanon. He's planted in the house of the Lord. He's going to flourish in the courts of our God. What he does is going to be good. He's going to bring forth fruit in old age. Doesn't matter how old he gets, amen. They're going to be fat and flourishing. They're going to be prospering and showing that the Lord is upright. He's my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The psalmist said, you know what? God's just good. And because God's good, he's showing it in my life. And I'm showing you that my God is good. Amen. I don't care how old I get, I'm still showing you that God is good. I don't care how bad it gets, I'm still showing you that God gets good. I may not have all the money I want, but I'm still showing you that God is good. Hey, I may be sick, but God's still good. Hey, I may be over here with no education, but God's still good. Hey, I may not have a whole lot of fancy cars, but God is still good. I may not have what you have, but God's still good. In old age, he's still showing it. What did he say? This is for those that get planted in the house of God. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord. What am I saying? His prominence and his permanence, he's there. Show you the parallel to this. Go over to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, the parallel to this. Verse number 5. While you're turning, let me give you the background on this. Jeremiah is preaching against Judah's sins. Verse 1, he says, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. And with the point of a diamond, it is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. And so he's going to deal with them about their sin. One of the main sins that Judah was guilty of was going to the other nations to get help. And one of the sins in this particular passage here was they were going to get the help of Egypt against Babylon. And God had told them, leave Egypt alone. But they're going to try and get Egypt to help Babylon. And so he begins to deal with them about that. And notice what he says in verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed, by the way, that's not a good thing. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Now, if you go back and study these out with the concordance, Brother Serge, the first word for man means strong man or warrior man. So in other words, he's saying, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the strong man or the warrior man that trusteth in man. The second word for man is the normal man. So he says, you're going to be cursed, warrior man or strong man, for trusting in normal man. Now, it doesn't take a mathematician to figure out that Israel is supposed to be the warrior man or the strong man. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that the normal man is supposed to be the other nations, because Israel has God. And so how dare you who have God to trust in normal man? He said, you're cursed. You have God. You're the warrior man, the strong man, and you're going to go trust in normal man? He says, cursed be man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. He said, you're going to make their flesh your arm? And whose heart, notice this, departed from the Lord. He said, you're the warrior man, and you're trusting in a lesser man. You're the man who I have made to be the strong man, and you're trusting in a weaker man. You have departed from the Lord. Judah, you're trying to trust in Egypt to battle Babylon when I, God, am going to use you to battle against them. But guess what? If you don't listen to God, you're doomed. So he said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Notice what? Verse 6. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, the little shrubs in the desert, the barren ground in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land and not inhabited. You want something not to grow? Pour some salt on it. You kill it real quick. Hey, he said, cursed be this man that's trusting in this man. This is how you're going to be. You're going to be like the desert, like the little desert shrubs out there. You're going to see this heat, and what you do is not going to prosper because you have gone away. You've departed from the living God. Y'all got the picture? So he says, cursed be this type of man. But notice verse 7. Blessed is the man. Hey, that's what Psalm 1 says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scorners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate how? Day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that giveth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. He said, blessed is the man that trusteth in who? The Lord. Contrary to verse number 5 and verse 6, he said, look, that man, warrior man, trusting in normal man, he's departing from the Lord. He's going to be like the heath in the desert. He's going to be like the parched places. But blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. What's he going to be like? For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. What else? And that spreadeth out her roots. Where? By the river. And what happens? And shall not see when heat cometh. What happens? But her leaf shall be green. And shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What is that? Bringing forth fruit in old age. Notice verse 9. We talk about it all the time. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Hey, he says, cursed be this man, the strong man, the warrior man that's trusting in normal man. This is what he's going to be like, the heath in the desert. He's going to be parched and salty ground. He said, but blessed is the man that's going to trust the Lord. And who's the Lord? He's going to trust in the Lord and have the Lord as his God. He's going to be like this tree planted by the rivers of water. And then he comes back with Jeremiah 17:8. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? A reflection of verse number 5 when he said, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, who maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. What he's saying exactly is, you guys, your heart is so deceitful, you think you're doing right, doing wrong. And you're deceived by that. You think it's smart to go get Egypt, but you're wrong. He said, your heart's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? He said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He said, you're going to get exactly what you're asking for. Trouble. Trouble. Hey, what am I saying? He'd be like a tree. His prominence, his permanence, he's planted. I was reading this week, and there was a devotion on Jeremiah 17:8, and it said this. It was called The Well-Watered Life. He said, I have a friend who lives on a ranch in the wide open spaces of Montana. The road to his home is a long trail that winds through the parched and barren landscape of the wilderness. As you drive toward his home, you can't help but notice the contrasting strip of green trees and vibrant vegetation meandering through the ranch. One of the finest trout rivers in North America cuts through the property, and anything that grows near its banks gets the benefit of an unending source of vital water. This is the picture of Jeremiah. This is the picture Jeremiah paints when he says that those who trust in the Lord are like a tree planted by the waters in Jeremiah 17:8. Many may choose the wilting heat and choking drought of life apart from God. But those who trust in God will be vibrant and fruitful. Depending on him is like putting our roots into the refreshing water of his goodness. We are strengthened with the confidence that his steadfast love for us will never fail. God will ultimately make all things right, trusting that he will turn our pain to gain and use suffering to mature us, empowers us to become fruit bearers in a dry and thirsty land. It says, put your roots down by the river of God's goodness. He said he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Let me ask you something. Are you displaying prominence? Are you like a tree? Are you displaying permanence? Are you planted? But then number 3, not only is his permanence the blessed man like a tree planted, but let's see what he's like in his position. What he's like in his position. Notice verse number 3 once again back in Psalm number 1. Because in Psalm number 1, he says this in verse 3, he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The blessed man is planted by the rivers of water. Rivers are known for being fresh and flowing and not stagnant. Have you ever fished in a river? It's not like fishing in a pond. It's not like fishing in a lake. You fish in a pond, you fish in a lake, you throw your line out. It'll normally stay there unless the water or the air current moves it. But if you're fishing in a river, you throw your line right there, guess what? The water's going to take it that way. It's going to take it down. And then a river constantly has a flowing supply of fresh water. It's not like something that's stagnant. And so he says here, the blessed man in his position is situated by the rivers of water. It's fresh, it's flowing, and it's not stagnant. The water that is here today will be gone tomorrow, replaced by a fresh supply. The spiritual droughts which can harm others' growth won't touch the blessed man because of his position. He has a constant source of water. Say, preacher, what is that water? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. By the way, notice the river. The water that was there yesterday is not there today. The water that is here today will not be there tomorrow. The blessed man has a fresh supply of the Word of God. He's in the Word of God every day. The blessed man, because of his steady diet and his delight of the Word of God, gets a fresh supply of the Word of God each day for the day, not tomorrow, not yesterday. By the way, water in the Bible, when used for cleansing, often depicts the cleansing power of the Word of God. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. We read this verse all the time when we talk about our wives. We want to try and get our wives to obey. But we skip something. Ephesians chapter 5. Because water in the Bible, when used for cleansing, often depicts the cleansing power of the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, we like to go here to verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Amen. We understand that. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. We want to jump on the wives. Say, you need to submit to me. Obey. Make my toast. Make my bed. Clean my shoes. Clean my slippers. Do something for yourself. Try that for a change. Well, that's why I have her. No, you got her to love her. Can I get amen? Amen to me. Y'all kind of, you say, this ain't Father's Day. I didn't say it was. I'm just saying, it's Bible. We want to jump on the wives. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Notice this. Why? He said, husbands, you need to love your wives the same way Christ loved the church. And what did Christ do? He gave himself for it. What is it? The church. And what is he going to do? What is Christ going to do? That he might sanctify or separate it unto himself and cleanse it. Notice this. With the washing of what? Water by the word. What's the end result? That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He says the word of God is there for the washing, and it's going to happen by the word of God. And so the word there is compared to the water. And water in the Bible, oftentimes when it is used for cleansing, it often depicts the cleansing power of the word of God. And he says, I want to have a glorious church. I'm going to present it to myself. I don't want it to have any spots. I don't want it to have any wrinkles. I know some of y'all don't have any problem with wrinkles. I mean, they're in your clothes. So you're like, hey, I got them on my clothes. I got them in my body. I don't care about wrinkles. Amen. But God is not dealing with those type of wrinkles. He's talking about having blemishes or faults in the church. He said the way to get past that is the cleansing power of the Word of God. What am I saying? What he's like in his position, he's by the rivers of water. He's getting a fresh supply of the Word of God every day. Water in the Bible, when used for drinking, often depicts the Spirit of God. Come over to John chapter 4 with me. This is the woman at the well. Of course, you know, she went to go draw some water, and she never got any. John chapter number 4. And in John chapter number 4, Jesus speaking to the woman at the well about water. And notice what Jesus says in verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. And again, water in the Bible used for drinking often depicts the Spirit of God oftentimes. Thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee, what kind of water? Living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of what? The water that I shall what? Give him shall what? Never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to give you of my Holy Spirit, and my Holy Spirit is going to give you what you have need of. In other words, word of God goes in and the fruit of the Spirit comes out. Amen. That's just the way it works. The word of God, coupled by my obedience to God, cleanses me. It goes in, and when it comes in and it cleanses me, the fruit of the Spirit comes out of me. That's the fruit. Amen. And so when it says by the rivers of water, the rivers here is going to give me the word of God. It's going to give me the Spirit of God. It's going to give me that which I need for the occasion, whether it's cleansing or whether it's salvation or whether it's producing, is going to give me what I need. Over there in Ephesians, he said the washing of water by the word. Over here, it says it's going to be in you springing up into everlasting life. In other words, the water does multiple things in our lives. In his position, the blessed man is like the tree planted by the rivers of water. Go back to Psalm number 1 with me. Bible says, and he should be like a tree. That's his prominence. Planted, that's his permanence. By the rivers of water, that's his position. Those are three things that we have looked at thus far. The next one is going to be what he's like in his production. What he's like in his production. It says, and he shall be like a tree that planted by the rivers of water is going to bring forth his fruit. What he's like in his production. He displays fruit. He's not barren. Now, Rayford, I've got my two trees in the backyard. If they were to stay barren year after year, I'd call you in and cut them down. Why? I wanted to produce plums, and I wanted to produce grapefruits. Jesus saw a fig tree, and he said, why cumbereth thou out of the ground? He said, bear no more fruit. Get rid of that thing. Now, if you got a tree and it's fruit tree, what can you expect? Fruit. And his production, he displays fruit. He's not barren. You would expect a fruit tree to bring forth fruit. If it did not, you would think something is wrong with it. If your child did not grow up anymore, you would think something wrong with your child, Michaela. I'm Michaela. I keep calling you Michaela. I'm sorry. Kayla. She's got a brand new baby. Now, let's just imagine, Kayla, that he stays that big, and he stays on the bottle, and he's 30 years old. You're still changing diapers. You're still burping. You're still cleaning poopy messes up, and you all vomit and stuff like that, but he's 30 years old. Josiah says, go get him, son. That's the way you do it. And Kayla looks at him and says, wait a minute, Josiah, this is not right. He's 30 years old, and we're still changing diapers. This is getting old. Josiah says, there's nothing wrong with him. He's a fine young man. I plan on taking him hunting in the next 30 years. Well, he hadn't grown in 30 years, so it's going to take probably about 300 years. We would think something wrong with that, and we joke and we laugh about that. But it's the same way for the Christian. The Christian should bring forth fruit. The Christian that doesn't bring forth fruit, how can you say that they're a Christian? How can my grapefruit tree say it's a grapefruit tree if it doesn't produce grapefruits? How can my plum tree say it's a plum tree if it doesn't produce plums? How can a cow say it's a cow if it doesn't moo? How can a dog say it's a dog if it doesn't bark? How can a Christian say it's a Christian if it doesn't bring forth fruit? Preacher, we don't like that. I'm just telling you what it says. And he shall be like a tree, which planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit. He's being likened to a tree. And he said, the blessed man is just like the tree, and he's got some fruit that he's going to bring forth. The blessed man brings forth spiritual fruit. What kind of spiritual fruit would he bring forth? Here's just a few suggestions. Proverbs 11:30, you can write these down. The fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of the righteous, is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He should bring forth the fruit of the righteous. He should win souls. He should reproduce himself. Man begets man. Man does not beget monkey, and monkey doesn't beget man. I don't care what they teach you in evolution. You didn't have a tail. You weren't hanging from a tree. You didn't have gills. You weren't evolved into something, because if that's the case, what you going to evolve to next? What's next? Well, he's going to be an alien. If you didn't start an alien, you ain't going to be an alien. Amen. I'm just saying. If you believe that, shame on you. What kind of fruit should he be in production of? The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. He's wise because he's producing himself. Proverbs 11:30. By the way, if we don't reproduce ourselves, we don't get some more Mike Dimmlers and Dolly Dimmlers, some more Rayford Prices and some more young Christians, guess what? We are going to die as a church. Hey, if we stop producing children today and we have no more children, physically speaking, this planet is going to die. Because sin is going to catch up with the majority of this society, and we're all going to die sooner or later. And so the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and Christians should produce Christians. You say, preacher, I have no desire to reproduce another Christian. Shame on you. Shame on you. Because God put it in you. The same way he put it in that tree to produce grapefruits. Same way he put it in that plum tree to produce plums. Same way he put in that dog to produce more dogs. Same way he put in that cow to produce more cows. He put in you, if you're saved, the ability and the desire to produce more Christians, unless you're not saved. Preacher, that's hard. That's true. Because the first moment I got saved, the first desire I had was to tell somebody. Now, God didn't call any of us to save anybody because we can't save anybody. But he called all of us to share with everybody. Amen. I'm just saying. Say, preacher, why are you always harping on soul winning? Because that's why we're here. Amen. That's why we're here, to see people saved. We're not here to sit around and have a social club and have a gathering of people. We're here to reproduce ourselves. The reason why he had man and woman come together is to come together and reproduce themselves. And Christian, we're saved to reproduce ourselves. I'm going to finish this next week. What he's like in his production. He brings forth fruit. Let me ask you the question. What's the last time you witnessed for Jesus Christ? When's the last time you told somebody about his death, his burial, and his resurrection? Let me remind you, friend, Easter is coming up. It's a perfect opportunity. So you know what? Do you know what resurrection is all about? Do you know what Easter Sunday is all about? Let me tell you what it's all about. Why don't you come to my church and find out about it? But let me give you a sneak preview of what it's all about. This is the perfect season. Christmas, Easter, some of the prime opportunities to get people the gospel. And you don't have to have this veil of covering of shame. And well, what if they say no? I like what Brother Hall told me. He said he read this book. And the soul-winning captain or whoever it was sent the people out. And he says, outside there, somebody's looking for Jesus. Your job is just to find who it is. If you go to the first one they reject it, that's not the one. Go to the next one. If that one rejects it, that's not the one either. Your job, your goal, your mission is to find the one that's seeking. I'm so glad somebody was seeking me that day and I got saved. Somebody was looking for me and they found me and they didn't give up on me. They continued to give me the gospel. They continued to witness to me. They continued to share Jesus with me. They continue. They didn't stop. I'm so glad that they said, hey, I'm looking for someone looking for Jesus. Are you the one? And they found me. They didn't stop. Hey, outside these doors today, there's somebody who's looking for Jesus. And you just keep talking to people until you get the one who is. And the ones who aren't, you say, well, that wasn't the right one. Amen. But guess what? I gave them a track anyway. Sooner or later, you're going to get the right one. Sooner or later, you'll get someone that'll say yes, but you'll get no one if you say nothing. The blessed man in his production, he's bringing forth his fruit. One of the fruits is the fruit of the righteous, which is a tree of life, and we'll go into some more things next week. What am I saying? What is this all about? The blessed man has his display. Because of his delight, because of his diet, his display is being seen. And we see what he's like in his prominence. He's like a tree. We see what he's like in his permanence. He's planted. We see what he's like in his position. He's by the rivers of water. We see what he's like in his production. He's bringing forth fruit. Let me ask you a question. Is that you today? And if it's not you, it can be. Say, preacher, what do I need to do? First thing you do is get saved. Except the man be born again and cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must be saved. You must see your need for Jesus Christ. You must see that without Jesus Christ, you are destined to pay for your own sins in a place called hell. That's not where he desires for you to go. You must see that the wages of sin is death. You must see that Jesus Christ loves you so much that he died for you. You must see that's what Easter is all about. His death, his burial, his resurrection. And by the way, he's returning to come and get you and me. One day he's coming again. And it's going to be probably sooner than later. Hey, and when he comes, he's going to come and grab all those that have received his love gift in Christ Jesus. He's going to come in and get the ones that have been saved. He's going to come and get the ones that their sins have been washed away. He's going to come and get those that have repented of their sins and turned to Christ. He's going to get those that saw their need and said, I can't do it myself, but Jesus, I see you can. And Jesus, the best way I know how, I'm asking you to take my sins and put them up on the cross of Calvary where you died for them. And I want your resurrected power life to save me. Because without you, I can't get to heaven myself. I'm undone. I'm cursed. I'm trusting in man. Say, preacher, what man? Religious man? Yourself? Your works? Your deeds? Your baptisms? Your giving? Your heritage? Your church membership? You can't trust in that. You got to trust in the Lord. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, let me encourage you. Repent and believe the gospel. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. God loved you. Jesus died for you. And once you get saved, the Spirit of God will dwell inside of you and give you the ability to be like this blessed man. And you'll have a display. You'll be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. You'll be able to bring forth your fruit in the season. And whatsoever you do is going to prosper. Let me ask you a question today. Are you saved today? If you died right now, are you sure you'd go to heaven, or you got some doubts? If you got some doubts, I do want to pray for you today. If you are sure that you're a Christian, praise God for it. And go forward and get planted in the house of God. Get planted by the river of water. Bring forth some fruit. Share your faith with somebody else, be it your children, be it your husband, be it your wife, be it your friend, be it your classmates, be it someone in the community. Share it with somebody. Bring forth fruit. Somebody outside these doors today is searching for Jesus Christ. But let me stop one moment and back up. Somebody inside these doors is searching for Jesus Christ. And you haven't found him yet. You're religious. You've got some works. You're not bad in your own eyes, but in God's eyes, he says, look, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it doesn't matter how good you think you are, all have sinned, and that's the end of the story. And the wages of your sin is death in a place called hell. But I've got a gift for you, and it's Jesus Christ. And inside these walls today, you need to be saved. I don't know who you are, but you know who you are. Would you let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today? Man, woman, boy, or girl, whoever you are. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment, consider, am I saved today? If I was to die right now, am I sure I would go to heaven? If you're here today without a shadow of a doubt, you say, I have no doubt in my mind, no question. I'm not counting on my baptism, my church membership, my speaking in tongues, my giving, my heritage. Because I'm a Baptist, I'm not counting on any of that. I'm resting solely on the fact that I repented of my sins one day and I asked Jesus Christ to save me from my sin and take me to heaven, spare me from hell. I know I'm saved. You can say that today. Why don't you raise your hand in testimony of God's faithfulness? I know I'm saved. I repented of my sin. I'm born again. I know it's not a shadow of a doubt. Please don't raise your hand if you don't mean it. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. You may put it down. Let me ask this. If you couldn't raise your hand, why not? If you've got a doubt, let me pray for you today. Maybe you're under the sound of my voice. You say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I've got some doubts. Would you pray for me? I want to pray for you. You just slip your hand right up, and I'll acknowledge it, and you can put it right back down. Raise your hand up. I want to pray for you. All across this auditorium, man, woman, boy, or girl, I see one. I see two. Amen. Are there more? You can put those down. Anyone want to join these two? I'm not sure I'd go to heaven right now. I'm concerned about it. Please pray for me. Anyone want to join these two? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I really am. Pray for me. There were two that raised their hands. If you're unsure, why don't you, during the invitation time, come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, "Preacher, would you get someone to show me the Bible how I can be sure I'm saved? I don't want to leave another day without knowing that I'm saved. Would you just take a few minutes and show me how I can be saved?" It won't take you long, but you need to see what God says. You're already acknowledging that you're unsure. We want to make you sure by giving you the Word of God. And the Spirit of God will confirm to you what your position is with God. And then you make a decision. If you raise your hand saying you're doubting, why don't you come during invitation time? The Father bless. In this invitation time, these two that raised their hand saying that they're unsure, Lord, give them the boldness and the confidence and the courage to come. Let us take a Bible and show them how they can be saved. Lord, then as Christians, help us to recognize that, Lord, we've got to display something. We've got to display our prominence like a tree. We've got to display our permanence and be planted in the house of the Lord. We've got to show our position and be planted by the rivers of water, the Word of God. Lord, we've got to have some production in our lives and see people saved by sharing the gospel with them. Lord, help us to bring forth fruit even in our old age. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us today. Many are the needs across this auditorium, God, and I pray you would minister to each need and bless each heart and each life, and those that come to make decisions, Lord, may they understand completely what you would have them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Piano's going to play, Brad's going to sing. God's spoken to your heart. Would you move? Don't wait. As soon as the music starts, you come. Where you at today? Would you come? Maybe you raise your hand saying you're not sure. Would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure today. Where are you at today? He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Maybe you need to pray for a loved one. Maybe someone you know needs to be planted. Maybe someone you know needs to be prominent. Maybe someone you know needs to be more permanent. Maybe someone you know needs to be more producing. Maybe you come down to an old-fashioned altar. Pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl. And hey, if you're not saved, would you come? Would you come and let us show you how you can be saved today? Don't put it off another day. Don't put it off another day. How about it? As you're all on the altar of sacrifice, lady, what does God require of you? And he shall be like a tree planted. Are you planted? Is the Word of God your nourishment daily? Is your life running like a river next to the Word of God? Are you getting a fresh supply of the Word of God every day like the tree? And you're in the Word of God daily, constantly, consistently, yearning for the Word, desires for the Word. Hey, folks, we need it. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, God said, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Hey, I can trust in myself. I can trust in man. I can trust in my situation, but there's no trust like the trust in the Savior. How about it? Jeremiah said, no, you don't want that. He said, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Watch it, though. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I try the reins to give that man according to his ways. He said, you may deceive yourself, but you won't deceive me. How about it today? What will God have you to do? As you're all on the altar of sacrifice. Father, thank you once again for meeting with us today. Thank you for the privilege to see the display of what the diet and what the delight of the blessed man yields. God, I know that we all would love to have this display. We would all love to be permanent and prosperous and prominent and planted. Lord, we'd like to be that way, but Lord, we can't be that way if our diet and our delight is not in the Word of God. Lord, we can't be that way if we don't shun the ungodly and shun the sinner and shun the scornful. We can't be that way if we don't have a delight in the law of the Lord and in your law meditate day and night. But when we do that, we can be like this tree planted. Lord, I would be, I don't think I'd be totally wrong to think that all of us desire to be that way. We want to be like this tree. We don't want to see when the droughts come. We don't want to see when the salty lands and the things come. But Lord, not many are willing to pay the sacrifice and the price of it. So Lord, give us the willingness to want to pay the price. And give us the willingness to want to sacrifice to be planted in the house of the Lord. Lord, give us the willingness to want the desire to be in your word. Lord, give us the desire to be soul winners. Lord, we know that sometimes we'll have to overcome our own self-will to do these things. So Lord, help us to recognize that if we're saved, we've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ that liveth in us. And so Lord, help us to deny the flesh, to do the will of God, to be the blessed man. Lord, I do pray again for these two that raised their hand, that you would move upon their hearts to get that question settled today before it's everlasting too late. Now, minister to us throughout the remainder of this day. Lord, help us to be cognizant of the fact that outside these doors and inside these doors will be someone that needs Jesus Christ today. And help us to search for that one, giving out the gospel until we find that one and gloriously be able to lead them to Christ. Have your hands upon Pastor White as he brings your word tonight. Bring us back tonight to enjoy the blessing of being under the sound of the gospel one more time. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.